You ever wish you could record your drunk conversations? Well, that's what I do on the Intoxicated Podcast. Every Friday, I talk to friends, comedians, and various guests while drinking to showcase the conversations you'd only have at the back booth of a bar with close friends. It's a weekly drunk, heart-to-heart variety talk show and therapy session. Subscribe to the Intoxicated Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. That's Intoxicated, spelled T-A-L-K. Cheers.
This program contains strong language. Viewer discretion is advised. Welcome to Prancing. It's a podcast about kids that kids shouldn't listen.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I am Mark Adam.
I am Katie G.
She is Katie G. She is in the Halifax.
Yep.
I am in Winnipeg. It is super fun times over here, gotta tell ya.
Oh, I bet.
Really. At all.
It's like minus 80 there, and it's like plus 6 and raining here, so.
It's so, Canada's weird, right?
Yeah,
it's
right?
Weird.
Canada,
Canada's
what?
A weird place. But I gotta tell, yeah, the minus 21 today means there's no precipitation. No. Not necessarily the case. In Halifax, it could be minus 20 and still snowing. It cannot here.
Right.
It is not humid enough. So it definitely does not have the ability to be cold. I mean, no.
And that's your weather update, not a sport.
My brain just shut off in the middle of what I was
that.
Saying.
Like, I can see, like, I mean, for those of you who are just listening,
for those watching the video,
you didn't see what just happened in your eyes.
You'll be able to pinpoint the moment, like, frame by frame, like, that's where his brain turned off, right there.
It's like,
there,
right there, moment. I saw it.
It's okay, I have a giant cup of really hot tea to reset my brain.
Yeah, I've got any of you who saw my post, I have a giant mug of coffee. Iced coffee. You know, because...
Iced coffee.
Because...
Why?
Because winter.
I guess because it's plus 6 there.
Yeah, it's hot and balmy.
A balmy 6 in torrential rain. Nova Scotia's a fucked up place weather-wise. Also other thing wise, but definitely weather wise.
Definitely weather wise, for sure.
Yeah. So
welcome back,
we get
guys.
Rolling, before we get rolling, yes. This is episode 9, right?
Ooh. Yep.
Is that correct?
That is correct. Because we missed last week. So
we did. Luckily we pre-recorded the Only Dirty Table, so we launched that one last week. Really hope you guys enjoyed that. That was really fun to do, and we definitely could have kept going.
Yeah.
I'm glad we pause it at an hour. There's so much material we could cover. It's insane.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk
that
about.
Said, let's get rolling this week. I want to, before we start, remember you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/parenting. We're on Twitter at parentingpod. We're on Instagram at parentingpodcast. We are on Snapchat. I figured out how to use it. I haven't yet, but I figured it out.
I saw it. I'm very proud of you. Moving up in the world.
I did the thing. Anyway, so... It's just follow Parenting on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Please go to our YouTube channel. We don't have enough subscribers yet to have our own like custom link.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sorry about that. If you go to the Facebook page, there's links to our YouTube page. I'm really sorry. Or if you go to Twitter we should make our Instagram URL our YouTube link. That's what we should do.
Okay.
Until we launch our website,
sure.
which by the way is coming, so that's fun.
Which is looking really awesome, by the way. You're doing an awesome job. It looks pretty sick.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's going to be super basic. It's just going to be all our posts in a row. It's blog style, very basic. But I just want it to look like our branding and all that kind of stuff.
It's cool.
That's it. That's all I want from it. That said, follow our audio podcast if you're one of those people who listens in the car like myself.
Me too.
So iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, Pocket Casts.
All kinds of places.
Anchor is the if you don't know where we're available, go to anchor.fm/parenting, and there is like a listen everywhere link, and it'll show you all like a whole bunch of links where you can go listen wherever you prefer.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Woohoo.
All right. So that said, how was your week, Mademoiselle?
Well, sir, I mean, it's been a minute, I think, since we chatted, right? It's been, last weekend we didn't have our podcast because I was in New Brunswick, which had
a lot. You had a tour. You were at a tournament. How did that go?
Yes. The tournament went very well. It's a lot of sitting in a very cold rink. So like it's actually colder inside the building than it is outside. It's lovely. But we had, we had to play like the Friday night. We played a couple, like they played two games like Saturday, and then we don't normally make it to Sunday because, you know, it's the last like 6 years, I think, that I've been going, we don't really make it to the Sunday games. But of course this year we did. So it was just more hockey and more kids complaining that they're, you know, bored of hockey and they're hungry and they're tired and all of those things. So
yeah, I played a lot of hockey as a kid, so I 100% get it. I've been to away tournaments I went away a lot at playing AAA hockey as a kid.
Yeah.
So the travel time and all that kind of stuff. So I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a lot, like it's hard because I mean, for the girls, at least like our girls, it's much easier now that they're older because it's just way less, they were really more helpful with the younger ones. Cause Rod's brother came from out west, to come to the tournament, and like it was like a birthday gift or whatever from his wife. So they came and brought his daughter and his stepdaughter, who are, I believe, like it's 5 and 6. Like they're young. So they have like very low patience. Kind of same with Jill and Ellie when they were little too. They had really not a lot of patience for sitting and watching a lot of hockey in a very cold rink.
I can imagine. I been there.
Yeah.
I have a sister who got dragged to a lot of tournaments. That she probably did not want to go to.
Exactly. But yeah. So like, aside from that, it was really great to see everybody. And it was, Rod's cousin, Monica, and her husband, Patrick, who kind of have been like, they kind of reach out to us a little bit for our podcast cause they both actually listen to it. So it was actually kind of super cool to like hang out with people who listen to our podcast. So shouts out Monica and Patrick. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for listening.
That's really cool. When people at work are like, hey, so your episode of the podcast this week, you said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I did say blah, blah, blah.
Like, I did do that.
It's weird that you have an opinion about a thing I said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's weird.
I know. It's so funny because it was really cool. I don't know. It's just kind of cool to like hang out with people. They're like, oh yeah, so I was listening to your podcast. I'm like, that's sick, dude. Like, thank you.
And I'm going to bring up in a couple of minutes, I am going to bring up some comments that were made on our Facebook page because it was pretty cool that, like I said, people had opinions and they weighed in, and I would like to read some of those messages. I asked permission for those people, just so we know.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
If you message us, I'm not just going to randomly say your stuff on our show.
Yeah.
We did ask. Unless you posted it on our Facebook page directly,
yeah.
then it's public anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're good there.
Yeah, no, it was, so aside from the weekend of a lot of cold and a lot of driving, it was pretty good, and it was back to work this week. We had a snowstorm on Wednesday, so I don't really call it a snowstorm. We had like some snow, but really we've gotten off pretty easy this winter, so it was definitely not I'm not driving into work kind of day. So it was like a work from home day, which is kind of nice because it like broke up the whole week. Like I was off Monday and then off Wednesday, so the week was pretty chill. But then it work exploded of all of the projects and stuff that are on the go that like yesterday I'm like, it's Friday and I'm stressing more than I have ever have. So I drank a lot last night to make up for it. So
it's supposed to be no stress Friday, but that's not necessarily how it works.
Yeah, definitely was not that. So how was your week? I saw some great pictures and I saw that you had some good times. So,
and this is, it's weird cause we're almost doing a 2 week catch up because last week we did the Only Dirty Table, which was not this.
Yes.
And so like, we were coming from 2 weeks ago.
I know.
Where, yeah, like, I don't know. It's been a weird 2 weeks, and it was awesome because Thursday, was Valentine's Day, and I don't know if you guys out there saw my Instagram post, or if you're having a Facebook, my Facebook post about my date with my daughter.
So cute.
But I absolutely loved that. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. And she picked out her own dress, and she picked out the shirt that I wore, because I had ironed one for the date, and she told me that I wasn't supposed to wear that one. Aww. And I had to wear a different one.
That's so cute.
Which was adorable. And I wore it, of course.
Of course.
And I got her some flowers, and we went to the restaurant. We had a reservation.
How did she love that?
It was awesome. And the reservation was under her name.
Mm-hmm.
So she got to say the reservation is under Amelia.
Oh, my God. She must have loved and that. So
she did. She felt so important.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got her a booster seat, so she sat opposite me at this little two-top table. And she sat, like, high because of the booster seat. So she was like, it was like we were on the same level. She just loved everything. And she was quiet and well-behaved. And she was just absolutely adorable. And people kept coming up to us and telling us how adorable she is. And she picked out her dress, which, if you see the photo of it, she basically looks like Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Because I picked up this dress, and it was this pink dress. And I was like, what about this one? And there was an identical dress, but in yellow right beside it. And she goes, that's really nice, Papa, but I want to look like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. So let's get the yellow one, maybe. And I was like,
yellow one, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Done. So we bought the yellow one.
So cute.
And yeah, and she just loved it. And I can't do hair for the life of me. So her hair was what it was. But I think it looked pretty adorable. Because...
Yeah. You dadded it up pretty good, I think, for Valentine's Day.
You can only put the toque on and off so many times before it's just like a...
exactly.
Frizzball. And it's been like sub minus 20, right? Yeah. I think that night it was minus 24 or something like that. So we have to keep her bundled, right? So even though she's adorable, she's still like, she's hidden. All her adorability is hidden. And we got into the restaurant, she took her coat off, and everybody was like, oh my God. And she, of course, is 4-year-old carrying this bouquet of flowers that's bigger than her.
Oh, my God. Well, not so bigger cute. Than her,
but pretty huge. She loved that. That was, and that, like, so the rest of the 2 weeks, all the weird parts and bad parts and all that stuff just sort of, like, faded away.
Yeah, totally. So
that was by far the best thing that happened to me in the last 2 weeks, 100%.
That was pretty darn cute, I must say. You did good. You did good, Papa.
Yeah. The thing that melted my heart the most was she fell asleep in the car on the way home.
Right.
Because our reservation was at 8, which is normally her bedtime.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, we left the restaurant around 9, right? Mm-hmm. So it's only an hour difference, but she passed out in the car on the way home. So I'm carrying her in, and I'm putting her into bed. And as I'm laying her in her bed and putting the covers over her, I said, thank you for being my beautiful little princess tonight. And I was kissing her goodnight, and she said, thanks, Papa. I was really happy to be your date. It was the best Valentine's Day. And then she just, like, rolls back over and passes out. And I was like,
ugh.
If my heart could cry, it would have. Like, it was just like, I was like, oh, my God. So I'm like this 6'4", ginger-bearded giant man just...
just in tears. Like,
weeping by myself in the dark. And that's what it's like to have daughters, everybody.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah. Right?
Super fun.
That's so freaking cute. Rod, we don't buy into the Valentine's thing. Like, we don't, although we say that, but then every year Rod will do like just a little tiny gesture. Like, sometimes it's just like, just get me a couple of chocolates or whatever. Right. So he always does something. And so, we all kind of had a particularly rough kind of week-ish, I guess. And so we weren't going to be doing anything for Valentine's Day. We had the kids this week. So
just opted out.
What's that?
You just opted out.
Yeah. Well, our like anniversary is like the second week of March. So we kind of just hold off any sort of like celebration type things for then. So I came home, Thursday to, a little like a card and like a couple little boxes of chocolates on the table. And it was for all three of us. So for me, Jill and Allie. So Rod just got us each a little thing of chocolates and a card for one card for all of us. And
so you got lumped in together with the girls.
Yeah, it was super cute because we all kind of had a bit of a rough week, and so it was kind of like a a cute little gesture. And then he made us a really good supper. And then he had bought these little mini cheesecakes for dessert. So he doesn't eat cheesecake or really dessert at all. And I mean, none of us really do, but it was really sweet. Like, we didn't really do anything like together for each other, but he kind of stepped up and like did a little something for all three of us, which was kind of really cute. So
he's being the man of the house,
yeah,
kind of thing.
It was,
like,
it was just
that,
really
in
cute.
That stereotypical way that feminists hate.
Yeah, it was super cute. It was just like really, it was really nice. I think the girls also appreciated it too, because, you know, girls, we love chocolate, right?
Yeah. Well, who doesn't, really? I mean,
fair.
I don't trust people who don't eat like chocolate. They're up to something, those fuckers.
Yeah, something's happening.
I did share the photo to our parenting page, one of the reasons. Not the only reason, obviously. I love hanging out with my daughter and doing all those cute things with her. But one of the reasons I thought it was important to do the date on Valentine's Day with her, or like just the date in general,
mm-hmm.
and I quoted it there, I think it's important to teach our daughters how they should be treated so that they have higher expectations when they're older and start dating.
100%.
Somebody had commented on there that they'd read an article about that and how that's a great idea and all that stuff. But it's... When you have a daughter, and it eventually becomes sort of a common sense sort of thing, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? That there's no, when you're a parent, especially if you only have the one kid or it's your first kid, you have no fucking idea what you're doing, right? Like, no idea.
Right?
At all. So you're kind of making it up as you go. And
totally.
That it's just one of those things where if I want her to expect more, I have to show her what more is.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that, because she wouldn't have any sort of reference aside from TV or cartoons or whatever about how, you know, boys treat girls. Right. So for you to like take her out and show her how she should be treated, then, you know, she'll like, you're right. She'll have that. I wouldn't say maybe expectation, but she'll have that. She'll know how she should be treated, and she'll know what a good man is. And so that's really sweet.
And that's the hope.
Yeah. And you just continue to do those things. It gets harder as they get older because, you know, boys can suck at a lot of ages, and so can girls.
Boys can suck. But yeah, girls have their moments.
They do.
But yeah, it was, yeah,
but teaching them to
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Before my daughter was born, we didn't do the we know what the gender is, right? We were waiting for the surprise of like, oh, here's this child, and it's a,
right,
it's a boy. Oh no, that's an umbilical cord. Never mind, it's a girl. we were waiting for the surprise of it all, so I had no idea, and so, but I was totally fine with it being a daughter. I was totally fine with it being a boy. I was leaning towards boy, and only because then you only have to worry about one dick. You don't have to worry about all the dicks. And that's, I know that's a very heteronormative way to look at it. Please don't jump down my throat, Mr. and Miss Millennial. I get it. It's fine.
I know what you're saying, though.
But that was the thought in my head, right?
Yeah.
Because statistically speaking, this person will be straight. It's okay if they're not.
Right.
Right? Statistically mm-hmm. speaking, though. Just based solely on the math. Just saying. Anyway.
And we love math.
It is what it is. I do like math. Math is great.
Yeah, math is...
But math is what? You were going to say something.
Oh, no. I just, yeah. I don't do math. I can't help the kids with math, so...
Oh, you're not the math lady.
No, well, not the way that they do math these days. It hurts my brain.
Oh yeah, all this new math. Let's break it out into 1,700 things.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing here. Yeah. I don't get it. And I was watching Incredibles 2 with Amelia the other day.
We just watched that last night with the girls.
And there's that moment where he's like, "How can you change math? Math is math." Yeah. He's just getting so mad.
Yeah.
But then eventually he sits down with it and figures it out.
Yeah. Super cute.
And he's like, "Now I can help you. I think I understand math.
Your math."
Yeah. Yeah. I can help you with your homework. And I like watching him have that proud moment. I just had that moment of like, I was just being a douchebag before. Like, I should just learn a new thing.
I know, right? We're, like, old and set in our ways. We don't want to learn new things.
Yeah, the old dogs don't want to learn new tricks, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you get caught in that way.
It's true.
Before we go down that rabbit
hole. Yeah, we get totally off topic. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I really appreciated that people had that, that people enjoyed my date.
It was very cute, Amelia. I must say. It's very, very
and
cute.
The biggest thing is that she enjoyed it, and she was so excited and just super happy with it. And she asked me the next day when she woke up, she said, "Papa, is it still Valentine's Day?" And I said, "No, that was yesterday." And she said, "Oh, well, thank you, because Valentine's Day was fun." And I was like, "Oh, good." She goes, "Can we do it again tomorrow?" I said, No, it's not for another year. It's like Christmas. It only comes around once a year.
Right.
And she goes, "Okay, when's Christmas?" And I was like, look. Oh, no.
Nope.
Like, I started this.
Not ready.
No. Christmas isn't soon. Like, calm down.
That's really sweet, though, that she had a good time. I like that.
Yeah. I forget sometimes that kids have no concept of time. Like, they don't know. Like, she doesn't know what a year is.
Yeah, fair. That's true.
Yeah. So, that's like. True. In context of, like, Christmas comes back in a year. And she's just like...
So, like, tomorrow?
Yeah. Like, so, like, is that, like, I go to sleep, I wake up, and it's a year?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Or she'll tell me stories where she's like, "Last year, I did this." And I'm like, "Babe, that was yesterday. That was not a year ago." You know?
It's a hard concept to grasp.
And it's getting easier because she has some cousins who are younger. And she judges things by, like... how old they are and what they can do versus what she can do and what she knows. Mm-hmm. And so she does understand, like, eventually Rosie will be able to do this and this and this. But right now she's too little.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. That's right. Cute. So there's a little bit of that, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Totally.
Before we go into what we're going to talk about this week, let's roll back. Cause last actual parenting episode,
mm-hmm.
we talked about vaccines, and we had somebody message us by the name of Monica, who I asked if we could use her message on the podcast, and she said yes. So I'm just going to read it straight up. If I screw it up, sorry, I'm just going to read it straight.
Reading's hard. Right?
Reading is hard. Yeah. Just finished the latest episode on the way home from work today. The trek home from the office to work is my only alone time, and I very much have enjoyed your podcast. I just wanted to tell you the absolute dumbest thing I have ever heard about vaccines. I had someone tell me that she didn't get her kids vaccinated because she was afraid of needles. Now, I put "she" in capital letters, but she obviously is a capital letters again. Moron. I am 150% pro-vaccine, so much so that with my four-year-old... we paid privately for a meningitis one so she could get it at 9 months. Regular one is at a year. We did this because people are idiots and there was a few meningitis outbreaks in Nova Scotia. Side note, I'm so excited to have Katie be exposed to the shitstorm of this weekend of my little people. I'm kind of frightened by what she may say next episode. So I'm assuming she was one of the people at your hockey tournament.
Yes, Monica is Rod's cousin.
Okay, right on. Perfect.
Yeah.
And do you have any stories about her?
You know what's
minions?
You know what's funny is that they, her kids are fucking cute, man. Like, they are, I mean, this is the thing we also talked about this because she's like, it's incredibly frustrating because when we are around other people, our kids are like, everyone's like, "Oh my God, they're so great. And they're so cute. And oh my God." And then she's like, and then we're home and they're like screaming and temper tantrums and timeouts. And I was like, so we all get to see like the super cute side of them, which is what really I saw. Like, I got a really couple of great shots of their little guy, Lawrence. He's so cute. And Charlotte, who is their daughter, she is so cute. And she was wearing this, like homemade kind of like hat. I don't know what we call it. It's like paper. She colored it and it, you know, she was wearing it. And I guess that morning when we first got there on the Friday, she was wearing it and she like did not want to take that off. Like, she put it on and that was just her, That was her thing for the weekend.
Like paper bag princess kind of crown?
Pretty much, yeah. It was paper. I forget what was on it. I don't know if it was like a snowman or something, or I might be misremembering that, but, you know, I may have had a beverage or two that weekend.
Dealing with children with booze, that sounds like parenting 101.
I know, right? And where we were staying, it's kind of the hot spot where everyone kind of meets up. So there were, at one point, there was a lot of kids there, which was really cool because it's so funny because I've been going there for so many years now. Like, I forget how long I've been going there because I can see the progression of how much all the kids have changed, especially a lot of the kids that are there. We only see them once, maybe twice a year. So they grow so much every time we're there. But there wasn't any sort of like crazy things that happened. I remember Monica was telling me that, you know, at one of the mornings we woke up that Charlotte was in a timeout. She has like timeout on the stairs. So she has to go sit and think about it. And then Monica goes over and was talking to her, I guess. And it was over, I think it was just about breakfast, what she wanted for breakfast. She wanted pancakes because that was the only thing, like literally the only thing that we probably didn't have was pancakes. And that's what she wanted that morning for breakfast. Because that's how kids work, right? What don't we have? That's what I want for breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was that.
Some days I just give Amelia, I'm like, these are your options. Pick one.
Yeah.
I don't want those. Well, then you're going to be very hungry.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it was, you know what? The whole weekend itself was pretty chill, I think, for the weekend, like for the kids. Like there was nothing aside from, like I said, people getting just the kids getting over tired and not wanting to do hockey anymore, which I can totally understand. So, you know, I know that Lawrence, the little guy, he had a rough go because he just did not like the funniest thing that I will say is that kid loves to eat. Like, if you feed him, he is golden. But then as soon as that food is over, there is a very short timeline of his patience. Like, he went from screaming, like, crying and whatever, and then had a cookie and just, like, mellowed right out. And it was,
My nephew, Amanda's son, Mateo, was that way. He's a little older now, so it's a little different. But when he was a kid, if there was food, he was fine. But he was the kid who... He would eat until he threw up, and then he would just keep eating.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's that kid. Like, you physically have to remove the food. You can't tell him not to eat because he'll just
continue to eat it.
Yeah. You have to physically remove the food from where he is.
Wow.
And again, this was when he was young.
Yeah.
But he just would not stop eating, period. End of sentence.
That's so funny. Because there's, like, some kids just don't eat at all. Like, you have to force feed them almost. It's like, you need this to live. I need you to eat this.
Yeah. Please don't die. Yeah. Someone will call child services on me.
I'm going to get in shit if you don't fucking eat, so.
Yeah.
Please eat your damn food.
Yeah, kids are awfully picky for little people who can't cook.
Right? I see so many of those, like, memes that makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're, I love those.
You talk a lot of smack for a 4-year-old wearing Crocs on the wrong feet.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
My kid stares an awful lot for somebody who doesn't know how to fight. Yeah, there's some doozies out there. I like them.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one. I like that.
I thought that was funny. But what do I know?
Love it. Love it.
There was another, we had another message there. Hold on. I'm very organized at this podcast.
Listen, if you made it to episode 9, you know this is how we roll.
So here you go. Oh, it sort of harkens back to, this is Patrick Carroll, which is the other half of that Monica coin, I believe.
Yes, that's her husband.
Yeah. So he messaged in as well, separate of her. And he said, after listening to the last podcast, I really like the part that Mark said about being a dad to daughters. Being a dad to daughters, you have to be the role model so that they know what a great man is. Mm-hmm. This definitely applies to Rod, but I received a book when my daughter was born called Be the Dad She Needs You to Be by Dr. Lehman. It focuses on the exact that exact aspect. Highly recommend it to any new dads or dads out there having a tough time relating to their daughters. Sorry, the thing kept moving around on me while I was trying to read it. But
you got there. You made it through.
Yeah. So Be the Dad She Needs You to Be. Sounds like a book I should definitely check out. I quickly Googled it. It is on Amazon. I might download the EPUB. The electronic publication. That's one of those e-books. You know, you read it on your device. Anyway. That sounds like a good read.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know if you do read it too, because I'd like to know what's in there.
Well, I think it's just, it would be nice because I'm sure there's like tips and tricks and little things you wouldn't have thought of before. It's crowdsourcing your parenting strategy is important, I think.
100%, because if
you're not perfect, you're a human being, and I don't care who you are listening to this, that is a fact. Unless you're Google, in which case I welcome our new Google overlords. I am sympathetic to the cause. Please don't kill me when you take over the world. That said, parents aren't perfect. We need help. We need other people's perspectives. And don't just read one book and say, now I know how to do all the things. That's one person's opinion.
Exactly.
So now you have two. You want to have a bunch of different people's opinions. And that's what the strength of Facebook and social media is, that there's so much information out there. The weakness there is that there's so much information out there.
There's a lot to sift through, right? You need to make your own decisions.
And there's
and
a lot of people
research.
With really fucking stupid opinions.
Yeah.
Like anti-vaxxers and PETA. But anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't want to attack any particular people other than PETA and anti-vaxxers.
Yes.
But
I think you're right. Like, we need to, there's a community of us parents, step parents. If you adopt kids, like there's so much to, we need to have a community to be able to rely on, because like you said, like, we're not perfect. You don't have a kid and just know how to be a parent. Like, it's just not something that you just like, oh, I have a child now. Now I know all of these things. And I know how I'm going to raise my kid, because that's going to change. You need to figure out, you know, your kid's going to have a certain personality and certain traits of yourself. Some of them you like, some of them you probably don't like.
There was a meme the other day that I posted on our Facebook page. I'm pretty sure I put it up there about how. Hold on, I'm gonna. Where is it? No, there it is. Found it. That was quick. One of the hardest pills to swallow is being a biological parent trying to discipline the you out of your child.
Yes, exactly.
Because their behaviors are both learned from you and hereditary. Like,
yeah.
All those nature versus nurture. Well, they're both. They're being nurtured and nature, right, by you. So trying to get the parts of you that you don't like out of your kid is a super frustrating process. She'll say stuff and I'll just be like, no, don't you dare start that shit.
That's me, and you need to know, not get that out of here.
Yeah. Just like, let's just gene splice that out. And the older my kid gets, the more I'm into gene therapy as an
alternative.
I'm mostly kidding. I don't know enough about it to have an opinion for or against. So I am not an authority on gene manipulation or anything like that. So please don't be offended one way or the other. That was a joke.
You're not allowed to be offended. It's 2019
no
now.
No information.
Get your offended out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Butthurt Brigade. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, pretty much.
GTFO, mofo. Anyway.
Wow.
Let's move on to what we're actually going to be. Don't judge me. I will fight you. Let's move on to what we're actually going to be talking about, which is this week.
Okay.
Which... last episode we talked about vaccination, and that was like the big thing.
Ugh.
And you know what I will say is that it took a kind of a cool turn, in that a lot of anti-vax rhetoric that was being shared really slowed down towards the end of last week. Because everybody that posted anything pro anti-vax, it's a weird sentence.
Yeah.
But anything who was like actively anti-vaccination was getting absolutely destroyed by facts and science and all of these links to this. And anytime somebody was like, well, here's a link from the anti-vax side. Somebody was like, well, here's what debunks that, and here's the follow-up, and here's this, and here's this. So the anti-vaxxers got real quiet there towards the end of last week. It was great.
Which is how it freaking should be. Shut the hell up and get out of here.
Exactly. And that's, as a society, that's how we should be learning.
Yes.
I mean, it sucks that that's how we should be learning, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see all the facts and people debunking things and all these, like, that's the beauty of social media.
Right.
But it sucks that people post the garbage in the first place, right?
Exactly. That's what I mean. You have to take the good with the bad too, right? Because that's the thing. Like, I get, you have all of this information and this whole, all these people out here, you know, yes, some of it is garbage and you got to kind of, the internet, you just got to swim through it. Like, there's things you'll pick up along the way that you're like, that's good. But there's other things that you're like, that's actual trash in this ocean. Let's just get rid of that.
Yeah. I hear you there. There's a lot of that. But
there's a lot of that, yeah.
The point being, you know, if we can throw all that stuff out, then that would be great. But we can't. So people are going to share lies and misinformation, sometimes maliciously, but most of the time they're sharing lies and misinformation out of ignorance. They don't know that it's not true.
Yeah.
Right? So if we can... And I'm surprised how many of those conversations that I saw were not shit-flinging gong shows. They were very... Some of them were weighted. It's like, well, if that's what you think, well, then you should read this, and you should read this, and you should read this. Here's some facts. Here's the source for those facts. Da-da-da. Like, it was a lot of actual conversation back and forth and not...
Not just
people, well, you're a fucking moron.
Exactly.
You know, there was definitely some of that.
Yes.
There was some of that.
Yeah.
It's still the internet, after all.
Fair.
You know, hashtag don't read the comments. comments. But,
yeah.
So, that said, it's, I was surprised how much of it was open conversation about the subject and how the anti-vaxxers were getting shut down because the... As soon as you could tell the argument was over when they were like, yeah, well, you're a fucking idiot. I was like, well, okay, that was...
There you go. Yeah. Check me.
Everybody just backs away from that person.
Yeah.
You know, it's up. Oh.
Yeah. No, and you're right, because if
give them a minute to read through what we've put there and they'll calm down.
Right.
But once they start personally attacking you and not any of your arguments, you've won.
Exactly.
And that's the thing you need to remember on the internet, people. If somebody's attacking your arguments... Continue to argue, right? If you find yourself correct. Now, if their arguments are better than yours, you should really read those. That's the other thing that people forget. You know, people don't know how to argue because they're just like, well, here's my point.
Well, people and then they wait for the inherently will get defensive though, right? Like, they could pull a wall up. As soon as you start attacking their beliefs or their thoughts or their opinions or whatever, they immediately get defensive, which is, that's a natural reaction for people, right?
You're and if they start attacking you, back away, let them read the things you've already left there because it's the internet. They're not going anywhere. They're there forever. Forever. But they basically just let them sit in that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was one of the things I liked about a lot of the anti-vax, pro-vax arguments the last couple of weeks was how civil they were and how surprised I was that the internet had civil conversation capabilities.
Yeah, which is nice. It's a nice change.
Yeah. You could always tell the conversation was about to take a swing when, like, because a bunch of people are Facebook friends and they're having a conversation. And then all of a sudden, one person who's like a fringe friend of one person in that thread comes out of nowhere and is like, well, you're all fucking idiots. It's like, wait, who knows this person? Where did this person come from? Like, have they read any of the things that came before this? Yeah. That's not the tone of this conversation at all.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, we're just going to, that person's thread can just slide off. And that's what I love about, like, comment and then there's like reply and it keeps all the thread down here.
Yeah.
You can just, if that person comments, you just don't reply to them. You just skip. Like, let's go down here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Forget this person. Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about this week, which, Katie, please go ahead.
Okay. So this one, this one's a hard one. This one's a hard one to, I don't know. It's a hard one to swallow or like talk about or think about because it's very recent. And it happened in Ontario. But for those of you who may have not read the news or whatever, there unfortunately was a in Brampton, Ontario, on Friday, a father had his 11-year-old daughter, and was supposed to bring her back to her mother's by, I think they said, like the article said, like 6:30 or something. And then she hadn't, or he hadn't shown up. So, I think the whole point was that, you know, she couldn't get a hold of him. And then, she called the police basically saying, you know, my kid's missing. And the horrific end was the fact that that girl, they found her body, unfortunately. So, and the father, I mean, he's been charged with her death. But the biggest part about this particular article, and I shared it this morning on our Facebook page, but the hardest part about this one, it's an article at McLean's by Scott Gilmore. And so it was basically, there was an Amber Alert that had kind of gone out. So everyone got this notification who are in Ontario basically saying, you know, there was this missing girl. And that's how this works now. Like, it's not just the police having to try and go out and find people. They can put these things out. And now with social media, and I mean, it's made, I mean, I only speak for myself for what I see, but I'm sure it's helped the police on many occasions find people, because there are so many people with these devices in their hands, like our phones, that we can, if we see something, we can immediately tweet it out or call or something, so that, you know, they have an easier time. So anyway, there was this whole thing that went out to look for this girl. And then there was people who were, I can't even comprehend it, but there are people who were pissed off that they got this alert on their phone because it woke them up in the middle of the night. And how fucking dare you wake me up out of my sleep? There was a man who wrote, we do not work for the police. That was one of his things. Like, we don't work for the police. So, like, why should we be doing this? Which is, I don't fucking understand that at all. But it's such a horrible, tragic thing that happened. And the negativity that came from it, because people were interrupted with their sleep or whatever. I don't really understand the whole point of it, but I don't know. Did you read the whole article on this?
I did not read the article. So I'm not going to weigh in on the article itself.
Yeah. Okay. Nope.
I will offer my opinion on that matter when you're done.
Yeah. There was, okay. So if you guys do read the article, this one's more about the aftermath of what happened, just on like this whole Amber Alert thing. Sorry. So basically this Scott Gilmore, he said the most common complaint is that they were too far away from the point of the crime to do anything. So basically saying that it's unnecessary for them to receive this because there's nothing that they could do. I don't understand the logic behind that. Like, how you can say, well, I'm not anywhere near there, so I can't be any sort of helpful. So it's like, it's fine. Then there's nothing you can do. I get that.
Just ignore the fucking notification.
Anyway, exactly.
I'll get there when I get
there. Yeah. Like, if it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you. But like, to outwardly put something out on the internet and be like, why the fuck am I getting this? And like, it just makes you sound like an asshole because you are an asshole. Like, to get pissed off about, getting an alert because a child is missing, and you're going to be pissed off because it's interrupted your sleep or your day or whatever, get the fuck over yourself. Like, I can't, it was making me angry to even just read, like, people were pissed off about it.
It makes me extremely sad.
Yeah.
That, I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's 4 years old. She is the love of my life. She's the best thing that I have going. Period. If anything happened to her, I would be absolutely devastated. So from that point, I don't understand how a person could do that to their own child. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, but that's neither here nor there either. The fact that it happened is enough. Yeah. In this particular case. The biggest problem that I have is that outside of the facts of what happened, mm-hmm. is, as you said, people's reaction. First of all, I'd like to remind people what a fucking Amber Alert is. An Amber Alert is it's an alert set up to stop and find abducted children who have maliciously been taken, who are probably going to be hurt
yeah.
in but by and a lot of the time it's by one of the parents because of access issues or mental illness or both or whatever the case is. So it's a child who is defenseless, who needs protection from society. And the Amber Alert goes out to alert everyone, hey, if you happen to see this person, this is something you need to do. And so that's what a fucking Amber Alert is for. So fuck you if you think that you're, oh, it doesn't affect me, so why am I getting, I don't have kids, I don't care. Well, guess what? Then you're part of the society that sucks.
Yeah.
And fuck you. So I think it's absolutely atrocious of a human being to be upset about receiving an Amber Alert because it woke you up. Fuck you.
Exactly.
And your attitude. Shove it up your ass. That's the first thing I want to say.
Yeah.
That person who said, I don't work for the police. Fuck you too. Fuck you. You are part of society. You work for society. If you're a contributing member of society, we keep each other safe. We're supposed to look out for one another. That's what a fucking society is. And if you're one of those people who's upset because you're woke up in the middle of the night by this Amber Alert because there's a fucking missing child who needs help.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your self-centered ass. I have no time for you. Get the fuck out of society if you're not going to be part of society. You don't get to live in society and take advantage of the taxes we pay and all the things that the city offers you if you're not going to at least read a message that took you less than 3 seconds to read and then dismiss because I live in Manitoba and this is happening in Ontario. I will keep my eyes peeled, but it doesn't apply to me. Okay.
Right.
How hard is that to press one fucking button on your phone?
Exactly.
That's an important thing, keeping a child safe. And it didn't work this time. They found the child's body. That's the saddest fucking outcome that there can be. And I got to tell you, it's not about you.
Exactly.
It's the same, and I'm bringing this argument all the way back to the vaccinations we talked about 2 weeks ago. It's not fucking about you. It's about everyone working together. It's about everyone. If everybody that can be vaccinated is vaccinated, those kids or elderly people who can't be because of immunodeficiency disorders or whatever the case may be, those kids are protected by us being protected. We can't be carriers of those diseases and bring it to them. I'm strong enough to be vaccinated. My child is strong enough to be vaccinated. We should be vaccinated because those kids who aren't rely on that. It's the fucking same thing here. Okay, it didn't pertain to you, but what if it had? What if the guy fled down the 401 and he was headed west? He would have rolled right through Manitoba.
Yeah.
Right? It hurts my heart to think that people are so fucking self-centered.
That's the whole point. That's the whole thing I get from that, right? Is because for someone to be upset over something like that and outwardly speak that on the internet, you deserve every shitstorm that comes your way. Because, like you said, it's not fucking about you. Like, it's about a child's life who has their life was ended at 11 years old. And not to say that it's like not everyone's fault because they didn't do what they're supposed to do, but that Amber Alert was trying to help that child because that child went missing, and unfortunately the worst thing imaginable happened, and I can't even imagine what that family is going through right now. And clearly that father has some sort of issues, mental or otherwise, but the fact that people are going to get upset over an alert like that, like you said, if it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you. It's the same when you read something on the internet that you don't like, you just fucking scroll past it. Like, but it's like, I just don't understand being upset about that, like that it woke you up or whatever. Like, I don't understand anyone who would be upset over that. Like, if I got that alert and I'm here and I'm closer to Ontario than you are. So if I got that alert on my phone, I'm not going to be posting about it. Oh, this fucking Amber Alert woke me up and I'm pissed because I'm not even in Ontario or whatever. It's like that mentality, there's something not right with you to actually be upset over something like that. And it's fucking infuriating. And it makes me so, so, so sad. Like, it just makes me sad.
I know we're doing this podcast and I'm fighting off my anger tears right now.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm like, as a father of a daughter, like If my daughter went missing and people were pissed off that I asked them to help find her, like, imagine the fucking, the nerve.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, and I'm going to read this. This was sent out by the Winnipeg Police Service. We're in Winnipeg, okay, which is Manitoba, nowhere near the 401 highway where the Amber Alert was said to have been happening. So here's I'm going to read it verbatim, and pardon me as I struggle through this with my level of upsetness.
Yeah.
The Winnipeg Police Service posted this. 911 is for emergency calls only. Some calls received by the Winnipeg Police Service 911 call takers last night regarding an issued Amber Alert include: the caller, is this a scam? Caller, I got this alert. It says to call 911 if I see the suspect vehicle. So the call taker says, did you see the vehicle? To which the caller replies, no. Caller, my furnace is making a noise. Call taker says, that's not your furnace, it's your phone. Caller, how do I turn it off? Caller, I think I bought this guy's vehicle yesterday on Pembina Highway. Pretty sure you fucking didn't, because the whole point was he was in it at the time. And anyway,
yep.
That's fucking stupid.
Yep.
Caller, where is the 401? Which is the highway that the Amber Alert was talking about, which is in Ontario. Caller, my phone messaged me to call 911. Because no, it didn't. Caller, I never asked for this service. Tell the police to take it off. Like, fucking idiots. And so they go on to say, reminder.
Some people just suck.
Reminder, they say. Alert Ready is Canada's emergency alerting system and delivers critical and potentially life-saving alerts to Canadians through television, radio, and LTE-connected and compatible wireless devices. Mm-hmm. This is an automated emergency service that you can't opt out of because you're fucking part of society. Anyway, they didn't say that part. That was me. Sorry. If you hear the distinctive tone on the television, radio, or on your wireless device, you are asked to please pay attention and take action if necessary. If it is not relevant to you, disregard the notification. Do not contact your local police service unless directed to do so. Essentially, don't be a fucking idiot.
It's not that difficult.
You fucking idiot.
It's just not life. Like, things like this, they're just not that hard to grasp. Like,
You would think.
And it's just really unfortunate and saddening that there are people in this world that think that way or who are that, for lack of a better word, stupid. Like,
And self-involved.
Yeah. Like it's just all about...
Well, I don't care. Like, I don't want to get this
until
alert.
Until it's them.
The
until
whole fucking country got the alert.
Yeah, until it's them.
That's what a fucking Amber Alert is. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off.
Okay. So it's just until it's that person. So until that person is in some sort of emergency, it doesn't apply to them. And then, so they want no part of it, but I guarantee you, if something was happening to them, they would, you know, they would rely on the rest of us. And me, it'd be like, well, fuck you. But because, you know, that's, but you wouldn't do that because you're like, yeah, you're a fucking idiot. But also we're going to help you because you're a human being and we're not totally cold, heartless people.
Right.
But it's like...
We will try and help your child who has contracted measles because you were too fucking stupid to vaccinate them.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's your fault, not theirs.
Because we're society. It's your fault. You fucked up. You were wrong. Your kid has measles now. Congratulations.
Hope you learn from your
mistake. We're going to try and help that kid anyway.
Exactly. And that's what we do. Like, that's what I mean. And, like, I just... When I think of these people who are... outraged or pissed off that they got this warning on their phone, like, and I can't even fathom the thought process that would make you pissed off about that. Like, to see that a child has gone missing and that they need, like, the city, the province, whatever, needs the help of the community to try and find and locate this person so that they can help them, and to be pissed off about that no matter where the hell are you in the world. Like, why would you... I don't understand where the anger would come from. I can't understand that side of it. I just don't get it. And if you choose to put that out on the internet that you are pissed off about it, then you deserve anything that's coming to you, like, comment-wise. Like, you know what? You're just a shitty human being.
I agree. Okay. I think we've beaten that dead horse. I feel I got a lot off my chest right there.
That's a tough one though. It's just so heavy on the heart because it was the worst case scenario that
It literally was. Yeah. And imagine that mother now has to deal with all of this. And she's reading things about how people didn't give a shit during this process. They were upset they were woken up in the middle of the night. Her child was fucking murdered while you were being pissed off that you got a fucking alert that there was a missing child.
It just...
Fuck you. Yeah. You fucking self-centered prick.
Yeah. It's hard. Anyway, it's
that's enough. That hurts my heart. I'm sorry. My language got out of control there. That's why we recommend that children do not listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can we move on to the top tweets?
Yes, please. Let's please.
Let's finish out this episode on some high notes. I'm really sorry. It's a weird transition. I know.
No, but it's something that needs to be talked about. Like this, it's just, we've got to get it out there. Like, I mean, yeah, it's all over the internet, but it's, you know, we just got to talk it out because it is like, when you read that, it's so easy to just scroll past something and just not think about it. But this one hurt, like this one hit home. And especially if you have kids, or especially if you have daughters, or especially if you have a split relationship with the other person where they are going back and forth to homes, like that shit hits home really hard. And so it just, that just hurt my heart to even imagine that situation. I can't even imagine it. So it's just something that had to be talked about. And yes, it's an emotional one. It's easy to get upset over it. For sure.
It's not about you.
Is that going to go up on your wall now? It's a little post-it note that says it's not about you. Put it up on the wall.
It's on the wall. Made the wall.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, so I have a couple of top tweets. I did find a Ryan Reynolds one again, so I'm going to save that one for last.
Okay. His are always gold.
I love him.
You never have to worry about those.
Yeah, I love it. So, okay, so, well, just to continue with our shout-outs to Monica and Patrick. What up? This is your podcast today. You're welcome.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, you're our featured users today.
So actually, Patrick had sent me a message, I think it was a couple weeks ago now. I just took a screenshot of it, but it was just cute because, anyway, what he said was, he's like, I threatened to take Charlotte's cheesies from her, his daughter, 4-year-old daughter. She said, Daddy, that's my snack. Your snack is coffee. He's like, and that pretty much nails parenting right there. I enjoyed
well,
that.
Well, I as a tea drinker, it's tea for me, but my daughter has done that. The Papa. But my daughter goes the other way half the time. So sometimes I'll just be sitting there minding my own business. Papa, do you want one? I wanted to share with you. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. So, I thank you for giving me the... And sometimes she does it with her fruit snacks, but it's the orange ones always because she doesn't like those ones.
Because she doesn't like those ones.
Yeah, so she'll bring them to me. I wanted to share with you. I'm like, no, you just don't like these ones. that's it. It's like, it's fine. I will eat them for you. Don't worry about that. Yeah. But let's not pretend that you were actively sharing
with me. Yeah, you weren't just, you know, doing it out of the kindness of your cute little heart.
Yeah. It also shows her it shows me her manipulative side.
Yeah. Sometimes it'll come out more often as they get older, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one is from a Facebook page called One Happy Pill at a Time, which I enjoy. So this one says, I finally had the talk with my kids. I told them how some animals eat their young, so they better get their shit together before dinner.
Oh, man. Nothing moves your kid faster than the threat of being eaten by you.
Right? Goes way back to our very first episode that kids left here will be eaten.
Yes. Children left here will be eaten.
Yep.
That is how we started this whole adventure.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So I should say best for last, but it's just because it's Ryan Reynolds, right? So this is his tweet.
Yeah. Celebrity best for last.
Celebrity best for last. Yeah. Okay, so Ryan Reynolds tweeted, he said, I'd walk through fire for my daughter. Well, not fire, because it's dangerous, but like a super humid room, but not too humid because my hair.
He has one of the greatest senses of humor.
He's the best. Like, he's honestly just the best.
I really appreciate him and everything that he does. Like, he's a very down-to-earth human.
Yeah.
You know? And there's very few people who are as successful as he is who are down-to-earth people.
Yeah.
And just genuinely
funny. Exactly. He's, and his tweets are like, especially about being a dad, are always fucking hilarious because he just,
but even when you see, but when you see interviews with him, like he's witty, he's quick. He's like, it,
yeah,
it's just rolling off the top of his head
yeah.
half the time. So yeah, it's pretty cool to see actually.
Yeah.
So I appreciate his parenting tweets just because it makes me feel like, okay, even celebrities who have bazillions of dollars and all the fame in the world struggle with the same exact shit that I do.
Exactly.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah. It's nice, eh? You know?
Yeah. We're not alone, I'm like $3, out there. $3 from the poverty line, and he's like, you know, a bazillionaire. And
but you relate. Relatable.
Right? It's great. I love it when I can relate to somebody who I'll have no chance of ever being. It's great.
It's great. Life's it's great.
Great.
Like, no, we're fine. Like, honestly, I'm fine.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so that wraps up episode 9.
Yay!
Thank you very much for putting up with us. I'm sorry that got real heavy there in the middle. I'm so sorry.
It's real life, man. Thanks for sticking with us, though.
It is the point. I didn't expect it to get that raw, but when you, as you were describing what was happening, it was just getting me going again.
Yes. I hear you. But thanks for sticking with us through the whole thing, guys, if you've made it this far.
Absolutely. And we want to say thanks again. If you want to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes, please do.
Subscribe everywhere that wherever your audio podcasts are found.
Yeah.
Also, if you would love to support us on anchor.fm, there is a support button where you can become a monthly donator, and that would be amazing. There is also a Patreon page, patreon.com/parenting, where you get bonus episodes and all kinds of extra content that we create that goes on there.
Yeah.
And there's different tiers you can choose from, $5, $10, $25 per month. Depends on how you want to support us. There's different perks and cool stuff you get if you do those things. So please take the time if you have a moment, because $5 a month to you might not seem like a lot, but $5 a month to us is a lot. Like, it's huge, and it would make all the difference. We really would appreciate that. That said, thank you so much for listening. I am Mark Adam.
I'm KTG.
Thank you for listening to episode 9. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
See you guys next week.